The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Plus, also available on Sirius XM Channel 80. It is Phil Yates and Ian Fitzsimmons in for Max. It's the handsome version of the Max Kellerman Show today. Fitz, how are you, my friend?
Field has been too long, and that handsome part just goes to one half. That would be the man who wears a schmedium and not me, so there you go.
I'm starting to fill out that schmedium kind of nice, though. Great to have you all with us here for the next couple of hours. And a reminder that you can be a part of the Max Kellerman Show Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. College football is back, and so are the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. All right, so let's start right off, by discussing the story that has percolated over the past, let's call it 30 or so hours, which brings us to Straight Talk. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And Fitz, I'm going to start here. When you saw yesterday morning that the Patriots had released quarterback Cam Newton and were handing the keys off to their offense to Mac Jones, first-round pick out of Alabama, what was your initial reaction?
I fell off the couch.
Did you? Next two of us.
Stunned. Absolutely stunned. And I, the more I thought about it afterward, I understand what Bill Belichick was doing. And you can elaborate a heck of a lot more on this than I can, because you worked in that organization with Bill Belichick. But it felt like one, and the number one priority is his team. Because as you know better than anybody, he doesn't care about the personal relationship when it comes to the betterment of the football team. I mean, heck, he got rid of his captain, Mike Vrabel, along with Matt Cassel, to the Kansas City Chiefs. Ask Richard Seymour how much he cares about personal relationships. If he believes that it's going to better the team, he will ship you out. And the number one thing that went after I kind of gathered myself, got up off the floor, and went, whoa, what just happened? It was all about the room not being divided and everybody being behind one guy, and that is Mac Jones. It's kind of like, was it Cortez or Coronado, right, that when they landed here, right, he burned the ships, right?
Yep, that's right, unified front.
That's what Bill Belichick did, man. He burned the ship. There's one guy, he's our quarterback, and that's it, and it's Mac Jones. And the second part I thought about was Cam. I'm gonna pose this question to you. Did he do Cam a favor by saying, you know what, we're going to release you now so 31 other teams have an option on you if you're not content being a backup here? And he boldly stated, and he may be correct, that he's one of the best 32 on the planet. But if you're not cool being a backup here in New England, and I appreciate everything you did, here's an opportunity for you to go get a job.
Yeah, I thought that a lot of the decision yesterday was motivated by three factors. The one's the most obvious, which is that Mac Jones was spinning it this preseason and looks like he's going to be a really good player, just like he was during his incredible last year and a half at Alabama. Two is, this is about respect for Cam. But the point you just made here, Fitz, is that if you release Cam now, which they did even before any of the other moves were announced around the NFL yesterday, or at least ahead of a lot of these other moves, there's not a lot of other quarterbacks that have been released or expected to be released in the next little bit here. Like, Cam is now officially the 33rd quarterback in the NFL. If something happens to any starter anywhere in the first week or the second week or the third week of the season, absent being like Chicago and San Francisco, who already have two quarterbacks on the roster that we think could be the starter, we're going to be connecting dots between that team and Cam Newton. Or he could be signing somewhere before then. And it's about locker room dynamics, is that Cam Newton has been, since the moment he was on the national spotlight, which, as you know, has been, he's in his early 30s now. We're talking about 15 years of Cam Newton being in the spotlight. He's been an alpha in every stop of his football career. When you go from being the starting quarterback to the backup in your own locker room, it's humbling. And the dynamic that you probably feel is different than if you go somewhere where you sign up to be the backup. Mitch Trubisky is an example of that right now. When he got benched last year in Chicago, it probably felt a lot different showing up to work than it does right now, when he knew when he signed with Buffalo, right, that he would be the backup to Josh Allen. So I think all of those are factors in play here for Cam. But one factor that we now know was not in play behind the decision to release Cam Newton is his vaccination status. And Bill Belichick earlier today was asked very specifically, was Cam Newton and his vaccination status a factor in him being released.
Did Cam's vaccination status have anything to do with him being released?
No. I mean, look, you guys keep talking about that. And, you know, I would just point out that I don't know what the number is. I mean, you guys can look it up. You have the access to a lot of information. But the number of players and coaches and staff members that have, you know, been infected by COVID in this training camp who have been vaccinated is a pretty high number. So I wouldn't lose sight of that.
All right, so Fitz, there's a second and separate conversation about the context of Bill Belichick's words there, but let's just focus on the first part, which is the vaccination status for Cam. I'm taking him at his word on that part, but don't you think, Fitz, that NFL teams around the NFL,
yes,
or around the league, it's a responsibility to be mindful of a player's vaccination status?
Go to Urban Meyer yesterday, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that was a college kind of mentality coming out, going, yeah, I'll answer the question directly, you know, because you're not thinking about an NFL PA, right?
And right.
An investigation on the back end of it. You're just thinking about it's going to be written, and that's it, done. When he was posed the question, how much did non-vaccinated players impact the decision on cutdown day? And, Field, you've been in that scouting department, man, you know, when it comes to the National Football League. You can't tell me when you're going to the 53rd guy on the roster, right? And you have your pros and cons list, and you're going around the room. And if it's that close, like Mac Jones and Cam, and I'm not saying that this was part of the decision, you know, but if it's that close, I'm always going to go with the younger guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's just me. Even if on a good team and a playoff contender, and a team, if they make the postseason, has the potential to make a playoff run in the tourney, right? I'm going to go with the younger guy, even over the veteran. But you can't tell me when you're looking at the bottom end of your roster that if you're going pros and cons, all right, who can be in those special teams meetings and also be in your DB meetings and in your running back room? Is it going to be a vaccinated guy or an unvaccinated guy?
Right, totally.
You can't tell me. Now, you don't say it. That's where Urban screwed up, right? You can't say that. But that's the greatest coach of all time, knowing where the question's coming from, probably anticipating the question and knowing I'm not going to dignify it with an answer. But behind the scenes, if you're in that room as a scout, Field, you know, or as an assistant coach, yeah, that's coming up. And it's going in the cons list because that dude is not as available to the team as a vaccinated player. Urban messed up. Bill wasn't going to dignify it with a true response but – look, there's no doubt in my mind that does go into the bottom end of the roster. Now, did it factor with Cam and Mac? I don't think so. I believe him on that aspect. But other guys, yeah, man, you can't tell me that is not part of the criteria, especially turning the bottom end of the roster.
Put it this way. If an unvaccinated Cam Newton was playing a lot better than Mac Jones,
he's playing.
He's still playing right now. This is about performance at its core. Let's spin things forward here for Cam, and we can talk about this probably for the whole 2 hours of the show. But as you look towards Cam's football future, I outlined one scenario where he just basically waits for a job to open up. But let's say he decides he wants to get somewhere ASAP. Is there a team that comes to mind to you that fits Cam Newton, or perhaps Cam Newton fits, and as a backup, because he's not getting a starting job right now, 31 other teams have laid their plans for this season.
Cue up that 70s tune, the Dallas Cowboys,
yeah.
Right? I mean, that cheesy, awful tune that I think Drew Pearson and the boys were singing way back in the day.
Sure.
I mean, come on, man. That's the one. You have a quarterback who is a Pro Bowler and one of the best in the National Football League when healthy. Coming up, he hasn't been hit yet, so he really hasn't tested that ankle. Even though he wanted to, coaching staff wouldn't allow it. Maybe ownership wouldn't allow it also. And then he has this lat strain. Well, yeah, they've ramped up throwing, but we really haven't seen him throw a lot. And when Troy Aikman says that's a concern to him, coach, when Troy says that, I wasn't concerned until I heard Eight say it. And then when I heard Troy say it, oh, hey, whoa, my opinion changed. Yeah, okay, it's on my radar now. Would Cam be willing, though, to come in after Garrett Gilbert got run, Ben DiNucci got run, Cooper Rush out of Central Michigan is your backup quarterback right now?
Yep.
Cam Newton, you know, obviously improves your quarterback room in a heartbeat. And for anybody looking at the flamboyant guy, you know, in press conferences and whatnot, talk to anybody in New England right now, and most of his teammates in Carolina. They're going to tell you he was a model teammate, a great teammate. So if he's willing to come in and be a backup, hell yeah. If you're Jerry Jones, you've already made that phone call. The question to you, Field, is, and you know the situation better than I do, is Cam going to be willing to be a backup quarterback? Because it wasn't long ago where he said, I'm one of the best 32 in the world.
And he has to make a decision right now. Even if he is one of the best 32 in the world right now, it's not always that the top 32 quarterbacks are the 32 starting quarterbacks. And he may have to decide sooner rather than later, because the opportunity to be a backup somewhere, that window could close rapidly if a team likes the development of its young player. The Cowboys, I understand the sense behind it, in part because, as we all have talked about many times over for years, Jerry Jones has no patience for a losing season. If something happened to Dak Prescott, we saw what life on the other side looked like last year. Beyond Andy Dalton, Ben DiNucci, who you just brought up, we saw what that looked like last year. Is Cam perfect? No. Is he better than what the Cowboys currently have? Which now includes, by the way, Will Greer, acquired off of waivers about an hour ago. I tend to think he's probably better than what the Cowboys have in the current holster amongst backup quarterbacks. That was straight talk.
Hold on a minute. You think?
No, he is. I know. You're right. Thank you, Fizz. You're right. Yes, no doubt. I mean, he is. Yeah, as much as Cam has his imperfections, like any quarterback does, sometimes I think we overdo it on where we land on Cam Newton as a player. Still an incredibly talented guy who last year was much more effective with his legs and his arm, but had some moments this preseason that suggested he was looking like a semi-recovered player compared to where things finished last year. And that was Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. So we're just getting into what makes sense next here for Cam Newton. Just one of many things that we have coming up on today's show. And ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. And guests, join us on the Goodyear Hotline. All right, we got a couple more minutes. Oh, I thought we were have to. You know, here's what happens when you do this. You do this show
different
every
clocks.
So often, right?
Hey,
is that you
clocks.
Get different? You get different clocks and different blocks.
That's it.
So we can name one more. By the way, one more team that has ruled itself out of the Cam Newton sweepstakes. I should mention this is that the Washington football team, which would have been a fit because of the familiarity with Ron Rivera, who is now the head coach of the Washington football team. He said, "Hey, we're not going down that road with Cam. Ryan Fitzpatrick is our starter." So I felt like yesterday, just put a wrap on some of these moves that took place around the NFL. It felt like yesterday the biggest moves that actually took place beyond Cam Newton were all players that were placed on the PUP list. So I'll give you three options here and whether any of these moves the needle more than the other two. So the Patriots placed Stephon Gilmore on the, or I should say, when I say place, I mean the players remained on the PUP list, which puts them out for the first 6 weeks of this season. Stephon Gilmore for the Patriots. David Bakhtiari, the left tackle for the Packers, and then also Michael Thomas, the wide receiver for the Saints. Which of those feels most significant to you right now for three teams that, certainly the Packers, and I think the Patriots and the Saints fancy themselves to be closer to contenders than maybe the public believes them to be right now?
Dude, if Drew Brees was quarterbacking that team right now just because of the name, we would be talking about them as a Super Bowl contender. Heck, they beat Tampa twice last year, and Drew couldn't throw it 40 yards.
Yeah.
You know, so that's... If nine is still there, we're still talking about them. But we expected Michael Thomas to start on the PUP list. So that was not a surprise. Bakhtiari, that's one where, hey, look, you got to protect 12. So that would probably be my number one. Gilmore, I understand that it's a weapon for, you know, and he's just different, right? I mean, he really is. He's different. But we kind of expected that one as well. So I would go with Green Bay and Bakhtiari over the other two. That's the one that probably stings right now in the moment the most to miss a guy for the first six games.
Agreed there, and he's an all-pro player for a reason. He's the highest paid or second highest paid left tackle for a reason. And the Packers sort of saw what life was like without him last year, specifically the NFC Championship game, where they could not find a way to slow down that Tampa Bay pass rush, in part because David Bakhtiari was not available. So let's just circle back to Cam then, because I realize there's even more meat on the bone. If it's not the Cowboys, this is what I want to sort of sort through. Is here the dynamics fits, is that what do you think it takes, or what is there an example that you can think of? Because people keep asking me, where's he going to go next? Where's he going to go next? And I'm trying to think to myself, is there a recent example of where a player was forever perceived to be on a certain level, close to the top for much of Cam's career. I mean, he was the NFL MVP, Heisman Trophy winner, national champion at Auburn, all the college accolades, decorated career at both the college and the pro level. And now he's going to have to humble himself. Do we have a recent example off the top of your head that comes to mind? And I know I sort of drew the parallel like Mitch Trubisky earlier, but Cam, much higher mountaintop than Mitch, obviously, right? I mean, this is a totally different circumstance. But it's hard to draw a parallel that's as sort of notable from where Cam was to where he might have to be. Is there one that comes to mind?
Not really, not since Mark Brunell. And Mark Brunell didn't have, you know, the accolades that Cam does. Cam, you know, Mark Brunell was never a league MVP. He led the Jags to, you know, obviously an AFC championship game, but Cam went to the Super Bowl.
Sure.
And eventually, you know, the lefty who's now on the Detroit Lions coaching staff, who, by the way, can cut both kickers. They don't have a kicker, and they got rid of Matt Prater. Brilliant move up there in Detroit. But anyway, neither here nor there, but Brett, that's where Mark Brunell is.
I felt some frustration.
Now.
Yeah.
No, little bros on the Arizona Cardinals now, Phil. We're good.
Yeah, you're good now. We're all in the clear.
Detroit, yep. Even though I am wearing the Lions hat, it's a good sweat hat. But anyway, outside of Brunell, and I brought this up last night when I was doing the show with Freddie Coleman here on ESPN Radio, man, that's the only one I can really think of that checked the ego after a remarkable career and was willing to be almost a journeyman quarterback, you know, going wherever you needed a good mind, good set of eyes in a quarterback room, and that can take you in a five-game stretch, you know, either 3-2 or 2-3 and keep you in the hunt. You know, I think at this point in Cam's career, he's better than Brunell was back then, but Brunell was willing to check the ego to go continue just to play ball as a guy who was a longtime starter in this league and had remarkable success in this league. You've been in front offices and scouting departments. You may have a better one, but that was the first one that came to mind when we talked about that very thing last night.
I can't think of a great example. And by the way, I don't hold this against Cam or anybody else. Brunell, personally, it's a difficult thing. I mean, it's the human side of sports. And by the way, I want to hear your thoughts on Cam Newton. Anything else that pops up throughout the show, feel free to get involved by reaching us at 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776.
Phil, let me throw this to you, though.
Let's hear it.
Does Mac Jones and the way he plays ball make New England a better football team? Are they more of a, not just a playoff contender, but if they make the tourney, as Bill Parcells used to call it, right, are they a threat in the postseason? Because I believe that he does make them a better football team because he doesn't turn the ball over. And a lot of guys have the arm, or a better arm, more athleticism, can see the same reads, can make the same checks, but do they deliver the ball on time and accurately when seeing that read and making that check? Because Cam, man, he's a better athlete. He may have a stronger arm, and Mac Jones can chuck it, folks, but he delivers the ball on time and throws guys open, and he does not turn the ball over. At least we haven't seen that in his entire career going back to high school, man.
When you give me the option of two things, I tend to do a bifocal sort of a view of them, right? Ceiling versus floor. Which of those two quarterbacks represents a higher ceiling for the Patriots, and which of them has a higher floor for the Patriots? And I actually think the answer is maybe Mac Jones in both. There are going to be some growing pains for Mac Jones because he's a rookie quarterback in the same way that there will be for Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson, you name it. Patrick Mahomes is probably like the rare exception, but his growing pains may have taken place when no one was watching in practice because he got the red shirt his rookie season. So I'm not saying that Mac Jones is going to just carve up defenses right away and he's never going to have any mountains he's going to have to hurdle over as a rookie. But I think it's pretty clear with a 20-year sample size of how the Patriots would like their offense to operate that Mac Jones give him a chance to look like and not be anywhere close to right away, but look like what they were doing operationally with Tom Brady for two decades, right? And I always want to stop shy of comparing anybody to the greatest of all time. But there are areas, just a few, that Mac Jones is Tom Brady-like, obviously.
Dude, that is so unfair. I am so tired of hearing that, man, just by saying it right there. Now, even with the disclaimer, Field, I'm watching Greeny this morning on Get Up. I saw Orlovsky yesterday with a new... Just by even saying with a disclaimer, I am not by any stretch comparing it, you know, Mac Jones to Tom. But when you even say the name Tom Brady and Mac Jones in the same sentence,
it's ridiculous, right?
It's almost criminal.
It is. But the point, what I was going to say is that like Tom Brady, where Mac Jones is going to win
when
is.
You did that. I don't care.
I know.
After that.
accuracy, lack of athletic ability, those two things shine through. He's going to win with his brain. He's going to process things fast, right? Those are the elements that we've seen from Mac Jones right away. Like that operation, if it's intended to run at 75 miles per hour, it's going to run at 75 miles per hour with Mac Jones under center. So I think the Patriots are like a cut below those other teams, right? So it's Kansas City at the top in the AFC with Buffalo not far behind. I think they're maybe like best case scenario is they get in that fight that currently involves Cleveland and Baltimore, maybe Tennessee, if they're just so dominant offensively. That's where I think they fit. A chance to make the playoffs. And as you said earlier, quote of the great Bill Parcells, once you get in the tournament, you never know what's next.
So let me get this straight. The checklist between Mac Jones and Tom Brady. Can't walk and chew gum without thinking, but remarkably accurate and cerebral.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, different degrees of it. How's that? Fair enough? Yeah, I mean, listen, why not? No pressure, right? Why not compare a guy to Tom Brady before he's actually played an NFL regular season game? Hey, the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. With insurance for cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. So coming up next, it's college football week one. We're past week zero. What should we be looking out for? Fitz has all the answers next. And football is almost here, and there's no better place to get in on the action than with DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. As the season is quickly approaching, DraftKings is your one-stop shop to make it rain all season long. To bring you even closer to the action, DraftKings is giving all new players a free shot at $1 million. That's like Fitz's salary during week one. Just pick your lineup, yeah. Stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Nothing adds to the excitement of watching a game quite like having a free shot at huge cash prizes. Download the DraftKings app now and use code MAX. For a limited time, new players can get a free shot at $1 million during week one. Don't miss out on the action. Enter code MAX to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. That's code MAX only at DraftKings, the only daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Good news! College football is back!
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Oh, the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, also on Sirius XM Channel 80, rolls along. It's Field Yates, Ian Fitzsimmons in for Max. Get involved with us at 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. As you just heard, Fitz, Nick Saban will be joining the guys in the morning tomorrow at 8:10 a.m. So let's dive right into week one of college football. And I want to get to the game that you're going to be on the call for, the biggest game of the weekend, in just a moment. But let's start with Alabama. During our break, you were listing off the pieces that are not returning to Alabama. So could you just repeat them once for public consumption and then also remind me where Alabama is ranked in the preseason polls?
This is staggering. And what's crazy, Field, is that this happens every single year now at Alabama. Let's just start with the coaching staff, right? Okay. So you lose Steve Sarkisian, your Frank Broyles Award winner as a top assistant in all of college football. You lose your associate head coach and O-line coach, and Kyle Flood, former Rutgers head coach and previously the offensive line coach with the Atlanta Falcons. They both go to Texas, along with Jeff Banks, their special teams coordinator, goes to Texas also with Steve Sarkisian. That's just the coaching staff, which that happens every year. Now Bill O'Brien in as your OC. You lose the Heisman Trophy winner in Devontae Smith, Eagles. You lose the Johnny Unitas and Davey O'Brien Award winner, Mac Jones, starting quarterback now, New England Patriots. The Joe Moore Award went as the top offensive line in all of college football went to, you guessed
the
it.
The NFL.
Alabama. Outside of Evan
Neal.
They
went from Alabama to NFL, I should say. Yes.
Just transplant the Joe Moore Award-winning offensive line, best O-line in college football. Yes, you are somewhat correct. They went to the National Football League because the Outland Trophy went to Alex Leatherwood. The Remington Award, top center in football, is Landon Dickerson now, obviously, with the Eagles. Duck Walker, top running back, Najee Harris. All these guys are gone. They're gone.
And yet?
Who's preseason number one?
Alabama. So let me ask you this, Fitz. How is this possible? Because every year, Alabama is going to be ranked extremely high. That's part of what has happened during the era of Nick Saban. But there have been years where even Nick Saban has known, like, hey, we may be ranked real high in the preseason, but this may not be one of our best teams. Is this a year that Alabama is vulnerable?
Man, I would have said in years past, going, man, I say years past, I would have gone, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, Field. But as Herb Street said last week on the first episode of College Game Day, which, man, how good did that feel on Saturday
morning?
Oh, it
was a beautiful thing.
That back again. And I agree with Herb on this, man. And I hate to agree with Herb, my old radio co-host on anything, but he's right. As long as that dude named Coach Nick Saban is the head coach at Alabama, I am done saying somebody else is going to win the West or win the SEC. Just look at the history. I mean, whether it's coordinators or players, it's just a factory. I mean, I don't know if they are spawning players underneath Bryant-Denny Stadium in some lab, but it's remarkable, man, what they are doing there. And so, you know, hey, Jalen Hurts, Tua, Mac Jones, all the way in one room, one quarterback
Amazing.
Room, by the
yeah.
way, all three of those guys, all three starting quarterbacks in the league, and everybody else they've lost, just all right, Bryce Young, come on in, son, here we go, oh, your turn, come on, and he's now your new star quarterback, you know, at Alabama. And I think he's going to, watching him at A-Day when I was there covering Alabama's spring game field, I think that maybe early – he might struggle a bit. See Spencer Rattler last year at Oklahoma.
Right.
If you're going to get him, you better get him early. And Miami's a 19-point underdog. It ain't going to be the Canes. And the more reps he gets, the better Bryce Young is going to be at quarterback. But Rattler, we saw struggle a little bit earlier. Part of that pandemic, obviously, and dealing with the, you know, the COVID restrictions and whatnot, and not being able to practice as much. But Bryce Young looked to struggle at times. In that A-Day, especially going against when they went 1v1s and 11-on-11. So he might have a hiccup here there early, but they're not losing to Miami. I'm looking for Miami to keep it close. I took the 18.5 and bought it to 19.
Okay.
So I'm fiscally invested in that game right now on Saturday. But you're not. They're just different, man. I mean, and they have 8 starters back off that defense. They lost a lot on offense, but 8 guys led by Christian Harris and Will Anderson on defense. They're going to be hunting, Field, and it's remarkable to watch how they do it year in, year out, every year when they lose so much, either on the field or on the coaching staff.
It's truly remarkable. Let's start at the game that you will be on the call for. That is, to me, the obvious best game of the weekend. It is number 3, Clemson, and number 5, Georgia. Georgia has been knocking on Alabama's doorstep, as much as any team has in recent years in the SEC. Is this the year where Kirby Smart can break through, and what is... You know, this is actually kind of laugh. I was going to say, what's it like for Dabo to have to move on from Trevor Lawrence? And then I'm reminded by the fact that
DJ Uyagalelei.
Oh, just turn it over to DJ, who was one of the highest rated prospects in like the past 5 years amongst quarterbacks.
And we got a taste of him last year when Trevor Lawrence got COVID.
Yes, and we did.
DJ Uyagalelei is a massive human being, by the way.
He is a linebacker.
And his touch, the deep ball, everything. I mean, he's the total package. So just go ahead from Deshaun Watson, right, to, you know, Trevor Lawrence. Now here comes DJ. I mean, it's kind of like Alabama. I mean, Dabo, who played at Alabama, won a national championship in 1992 at Alabama. He has built Alabama on a lake at Clemson. I mean, it's just churning him in and out. And Dabo said yesterday, Field, and let this sink in, that this wide receiving core might be one of the best and deepest he's ever had.
Wow.
He said in 6 to 7 years, let's take a picture of this group, because in 6 to 7 years from now, we're going to look back and go, all those guys were on one team. So they got issues at center. And, you know, Georgia's coming in a bit banged up. I think this game means more, though, Field, to Clemson than it does to Georgia, because Georgia has more on the schedule to make up if they lose this game on Saturday.
Right. I totally agree on that. And by the way, how many times have you practiced DJ's last name? Let me hear it. 3 times fast.
Three times fast I can't do, but Uyagalelei.
Uyagalelei. That's one of those where the day of the broadcast, I would be standing in a hotel mirror just looking at myself. I'm like my Ron Burgundy. DJ, I can't even do it right one time myself. Cannot wait for that game. Fitz on the call. Make sure you tune into that one on Saturday. Hey, download the Overheard podcast for curiously delightful conversations overheard around National Geographic's headquarters, presented by the City Advantage Platinum Select Card, the card built for your next adventure. All right, so coming up, the preseason in the NFL, was all about rookie quarterbacks. How does one service grade them? We'll tell you soon. Hey, thousands affected by Hurricane Ida urgently need support. Do your part as by donating at redcross.org/ESPN. Again, that's redcross.org/ESPN to help Red Cross respond to and help people recover from this disaster. More to come on the Max Kellerman Show next on ESPN Radio.
As a fan, this is amazing.
No, it is.
This is the time of the year.
This is what we talked about. This is real, man.
This is real.
Are you ready? Because I'm ready.
This is Keyshawn Johnson. I'm ready.
This is Ian Fitzsimmons and the Utah Utes. Watch out for them. They're ready.
This is Sarah Spain, and I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Football is back, and it kicks off every morning with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, and continues all day right here on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus are also on Sirius XM Channel 80. Field Yates and Ian Fitzsimmons in for Max. You ever have this problem, Fitz, when we're coming back in from break, when there's just the right song hits, and you're like, I know I'm supposed to start talking, but I want the song play. Let it breathe a little bit.
Yes.
It's one of those great debates in broadcasting. Well, if you can call me a professional broadcaster.
You've got Raj. You've got Raj, Bobo back in the studio.
He knows
all
what he's
going,
doing.
Go, and you're like, no.
Let it breathe.
Guys, we would play this song first of the month for obvious reasons.
Yes.
Four times, and Max never once would comment. How many months did we do that in a row, B, and he never noticed?
Wow.
Like, every rejoin was this song.
Dang.
He never got it.
Well, we're going to have to work on Max before he heads over to his new time slot. We're going to teach him some things. And early in the morning, you got to be super attentive. He is Max. We'll get you, Max. Don't worry, buddy. We know you're a busy guy, but we'll find some time for us. Your friends over here, your fill-in friends who can help you. Be a part of the conversation, 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. And tune in to an NL battle tonight as the Dodgers host the Braves. Coverage begins at 9:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. All right, so for those that put credence into grading of players in the NFL, they would probably turn to Pro Football Focus. The sample size for each of these rookie quarterbacks was different during the preseason as teams handled things differently. Fitz, I'll read the grades from PFF to provide some context, and then I think you and I can sort of hash out what the relevance is of these and how they all sort of fit with what our eye showed us. So Mac Jones, 92.2 was the highest graded rookie quarterback from the first round. Zach Wilson, 85.7, Trevor Lawrence, 78.3, Justin Fields, 67.6, and Trey Lance, 56.7. What, if anything, do those grades mean to you?
Nothing. Nada.
That's a football guy coming out.
Zero.
Yeah, I hear you.
Zilch, and I'm not a big analytical guy. I mean, I'm more of the, you know, watch the game, because it took me 6.5 years to get out of undergrad, and so therefore math was not
route.
My friend, right? So just watch him play, man.
Yeah.
And I don't put a lot of stock in preseason to begin with, because you don't know exactly when you're talking about just analytics and numbers. All right, how many starters was he out there with? Was he going against ones or twos? You know, so when it comes to grading and the number aspect of it, I don't put a lot of stock, you know. And I know you talk to a lot of coaches, scouts behind the scenes. Practice is what I like to hear about from either players or people that are watching it every day. And from what I heard, Mac Jones lit it up. And when he had a bad day, the next day he rarely made the same mistake again.
Yep.
Heard the same thing about Justin Fields. And I heard very similar things about Zach Wilson. That's the one that Field, and I'm curious to get your thoughts on this. And I get calls and text messages from Kalani Sitake, head coach of BYU, because I said from day one I would not be taking Zach Wilson if I'm the New York Jets. I'm going either Mac Jones or Justin Fields. Take your pick. It's like whether you like your steak medium or medium rare. You know,
yep.
You like twice baked potatoes, you just like to make your own. I mean, they are that close to me. But Zach Wilson was even behind Trey Lance. And they went with Zach. And so far, if you watch preseason and you listen to what's going on in practice, I am a football fool when it comes to Zach Wilson and the way I looked at him as a player. But, I mean, Mac and Justin, from everything I've heard, have lit it up for guys not named Trevor Lawrence.
Well,
what about you?
The one that we have the clearest picture as to what he's done so far this preseason is Mac Jones, for the simple reason that of the five, three were in a quarterback competition. No, I am not including the Jaguars as a team that was in a quarterback competition. And so far, not only did Mac Jones win the quarterback competition, but it was decisive enough that the Patriots felt as though they could let Cam Newton go free and pursue other opportunities in time. But if I were to sort of give a one-liner on each player's performance this preseason, Mac Jones, accuracy and command of the huddle. Zach Wilson, efficiency and cool under pressure. That, like, I thought it was pretty darn impressive, given the fact that they don't have a bunch of star wideouts in New York. Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields I put in the same category. They did some special stuff. My biggest concern is not them, it's the players around them, specifically the offensive line in Chicago and just the operation in Jacksonville. I know the offensive line in Jacksonville has been without some starters during the preseason, but I want to see how that unit gels. I know Trevor's going to be just fine. And then for Trey Lance, upside's unique. The accuracy and the touch on the ball was a problem this preseason, right? I mean, not every ball.
Play one game.
Yes. And, but he also, right, last year, that's correct.
Yeah.
Played one game. But this preseason, he's going to get that touch part down because everything he threw this year was 98-mile-an-hour high cheese, right? There was no curveball. There was no split. There was no ball where if the receiver is, you know, 5 yards away from him, he's just sort of lofting it his way. And it was all just direct shots at the wide receiver. That stuff will come around. So you can take our word on how these various rookie quarterbacks performed. But we can also hear quickly from our friend Swagoo, Marcus Spears, on what he thought about Justin Fields this preseason.
The goal when you put a team on the field is to win the damn football game.
Mm-hmm.
And to put the best guys out there that gives you that opportunity. We all know Justin Fields gives them the best opportunity to win games.
And if you're in that locker room field, you also know you can't fool the room. That's an old saying in professional sports. Heck, even in college sports, you can't fool the room. They know that Justin Fields is the best option for them to win games.
That is true, Fitz. However, what I will say right now is I'm not sure that I have sensed that the room is already unequivocally in favor of Justin Fields starting right away over Andy Dalton. I say that less for what it means about Justin Fields and more that I think Andy Dalton has done enough to keep them impressed. We're still rocking and rolling into hour two of the Max Kellerman Show, but coming up, the ripple effect from Cam being cut.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.